He nodded and pushed off the door with a sigh. I've got to go in here and take a statement from this grade-A shithead, Gabriel Popescu, about almost getting his arm broken, and I'd appreciate it if you two would get the hell out of here by the time I come back. I'll walk if I have to. He nodded and turned, pushing the glass door of the casino open and entering. Now what? Say something nice to my truck. No. Then we are going to jail. I sat there looking at him and then at the dash of the vehicle I despised more than any other. I would rather go to jail than relate even the barest kindness to this piece of shit. Then we will not be able to go find Louis Howard or pursue Artie's small song. I stared at him. I am very sorry, you shitty truck. First of all, you must address Resdog, and second of all, I do not believe that was particularly heartfelt. Looking through the windshield, I could see Bales talking with an animated Gabriel Popescu, or as animated as you can be with toilet paper stuffed in your nostrils and only one arm with which to point at us. I'm walking. Say you are sorry to my truck. I reached back through the window and pet a dog. No. Then we will go to jail. I watched as the sheriff inside took down the statement in the slowest dictation I'd ever witnessed. Clearing my throat, I looked down at the scabby dash with the blue and yellow flag of the Northern Cheyenne Nation peeling from it. Resdog, I know that you and I have had a rocky relationship, but I know in my heart of hearts that you don't want us to be arrested and you to be hauled away to the impoundment lot where you might be mistaken for scrap and put in a junkyard crusher. Henry nodded and compressed his lips. That is as good as it is going to get. Yep. Then we will give it a try. He adjusted the choke and turned the key, and I was stunned as the old V8 sputtered to life. It would appear that Resdog has accepted your apology. I could see Sheriff Bales approaching the door as the bear yanked the shifter into reverse and began backing out. Don't stall it. He spun the wheel, shifted into first, and puttered down the block in an all but clean getaway. The Diamond Eye Mine, just north of the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, had a conspicuous past, purchased by one international conglomerate after another, until it was getting hard to know who owned the place anymore, the Australians, the Russians, the Chinese, or the Duchy of Saxony. The man at the front gate, though, was Cheyenne and knew of Henry, and gave us a free pass to the administration building at the bottom of the hill, which was surrounded by the towering walls of the strip mine and the serrated layers of dark sub-bituminous coal, 16 miles worth, producing 43% of the country's reserves. We'd changed trucks and lamed ear, and I pulled my 3/4 ton to a stop. You guys looking for Louis Howard? I took my wallet out to show him my star, as if the 2-foot ones on the doors of my truck wouldn't do the trick. Yep. He in trouble? No, we just need to ask him some questions. He looked past us toward a very large steel building at the other side of the complex. He's over there in the garage. We started to walk, but he called out after us. You might want to drive. There are a lot of really big machines rolling around here, and they might miss something as small as 2 guys on foot. He started to go back into the building. Ask for Nick. He's a supervisor over there and can tell you where Louis might be. We drove over and parked by a set of the open doors, as big as a house. We left Dog in the cab and stopped at a makeshift office where 2 desks faced each other on a concrete floor in a landscape of gigantic machines in varying states of disassembly. A skinny guy with a pronounced Adam's apple looked up. Can I help you? Are you Nick? No, he's at lunch. Well, then maybe you can help us. We're looking for a guy by the name of Louis Howard. He's one of our mechanics. I'm glad to hear that. Can we talk to him? He didn't seem to know how to respond, so I pulled out my wallet and badged him, too. He looked over his shoulder at the line of behemoth equipment. He should be working on the dump at the very end of the row. You want to escort us over, or can we just go on our own? You can go, just stay on this side of the yellow paint lines so you don't get run over. Right. We trailed along between the walls of tools near the mechanics actually doing the work, making our way to the final bay where an individual was up in the engine compartment, the only thing visible, his booted feet sticking out from beside the firewall of the massive dump truck. Louis Howard? A voice called out from the bowels of the engine bay. Who wants to know? Ed McMahon, I'm here from Publishers Clearing House. Henry leaned in. He actually never worked for them.
What?
The voice from the truck called out again.
Ed who?
We'd like to talk with you. He worked for American Family Publishers and was a Marine Corps aviator. The bear continued, and he is dead. Thanks for the input.
The mechanic was struggling to get out of the innards of the big truck. He finally sat on the frame and turned to us wearing a hooded sweatshirt, the exact same hooded sweatshirt he'd worn at Jimmy Lane's house when he and Pete Schiller and his other white supremacist buddy had shown up.
He didn't look happy to see us.
Ah, shit.
I smiled up at him. Yep, you didn't win.